year. Brought to you by AARP.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Congress is in recess, the House leaving without taking up the Senate-passed bipartisan bill that would provide critical aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. It stalled over the debate over U.S. border funding. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller says one Ukrainian city has already fallen to Russia due to Ukraine's shortage of weapons and ammunition.
It is now clear, more clear than ever, what the stakes are in Ukraine. Without more support from Congress, Ukraine will not be able to replenish its air defenses and ammunition supplies to help protect itself from Russia's aggression.
South Carolina's GOP presidential primary is this Saturday. Nikki Haley today, who trails behind former President Trump in the polls, vowing to stay in the race. She says she's pushing ahead to March's Super Tuesday races. In London earlier today, day one of an extradition hearing held for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, the U.S. pushing for Assange to be sent back to the U.S. to stand trial on espionage charges. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court will allow one of the nation's top public schools to move forward with a new admissions policy that critics say has racial balancing at its core.
Officials in Fairfax County, Virginia, determined in 2020 that Thomas Jefferson High School, recognized as one of the nation's best, had been admitting too many Asian students and not enough blacks, whites, or Hispanics. The Fourth Circuit Appeals Court held that a more racially balanced policy didn't discriminate because even though far fewer Asian Americans were admitted, they still made up a majority. The Supreme Court leaves that ruling standing, prompting a furious dissent from conservative Samuel Alito, co-signed by Clarence Thomas.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. A record number of Americans will turn 65 years old this year. According to the Wall Street Journal, over 4 million people hitting that milestone in 2024. AARP calls it a silver tsunami. The Bipartisan Policy Center says the new 65-year-olds are healthier and wealthier. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. Today is the spring primary for local elections in Wisconsin. Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says these races for local positions are still important.
They determine who is going to be in leadership in your local community. And so it's really important to the functioning of local government.
Wolf adds that you might not have an election in your district.
Go to myvote.wi.gov to see if you have a primary in your municipality, to find out where your polling place is, and to view a sample ballot. And all polling places are open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Today's election will not be impacted by any of the redistricting.
Governor Tony Evers Monday signed new legislative district maps, which he drafted and which were passed by the Wisconsin legislature last week. The maps got only one Democratic vote in the Senate. On WISN-TV's Upfront program, Majority Leader Devin Lemieux discussed concerns that it was some sort of trick.
It's sort of rich or funny, some of the comments made by the Democrats on the floor. I mean, the Senate Democrats are party to the lawsuit. They introduced their own maps, which are really horrible and purely a Democrat gerrymander, and which is, I'm guessing, why all but one of them voted against it.
The action likely signals an end to legal challenges to the maps that have given Republicans an advantage in the legislature for more than a decade. Two deaths are under investigation in Dodge County.
Both deaths are believed to be connected. One of the deaths was in the lobby of the Emergency Urgent Care Department at Prairie Ridge Health, which is the hospital in Columbus. The other investigation is at a residence in the town of Elba, which is just outside of Columbus. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office says there is no risk to the public. They're expected to release more details on Tuesday. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today as the surge of warmth strikes. Highs will climb into the upper 40s and flirt with 50 degrees today. That'll also happen tomorrow and Thursday with bright and beautiful skies and winds a bit breezy today. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 48.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for being with us here today. Jesse Allen here as we have a lot of ground to cover, talking agriculture and issues impacting rural America on our program today. Coming up here towards the end of the show, we're going to get an update on the United Soybean Board's February board meeting going on this week in Louisville, Kentucky. USB Chair Steve Reinhardt is going to join us to go through some of the topics that will be talked about at that board meeting. In segment three, we're going to talk with Josh Bakey, Farm Progress Policy Editor. He is going to join us to cover some of the recent headline stories that he has been talking about throughout agriculture. We'll talk about some DC issues, I'm sure, and more. So looking forward to talking with Josh Bakey from Farm Progress coming up after the bottom of the hour. In segment two, we're going to get a look at weather for the week ahead. Fairly benign and quiet to start off the week. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will join us for a weather update. And kicking things off here on the program, let's take a look at what's going on in the markets coming out of a three-day holiday weekend. Oh, man, we got some green on the screen. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, joins us here on AOA. Darren, you know, a long holiday weekend, it's always interesting to come back into the markets after a three-day weekend, but seems like we're maybe finding, I don't know, a little value buying here. These grain markets have just been very oversold, and we're starting off the week higher, Darren.
Yeah, you know, and not only did did the U.S. have a three-day holiday weekend that the rest of the world basically ignores? But China's week-long Lunar New Year holiday came to an end over the weekend as well. And I think that's really the catalyst here. You know, as we looked at the overnight trade and watched how it developed, it certainly looked like there was some commercial buying coming into the soybean market predominantly. And while we didn't see any export sales announced this morning as far as soybeans go, doesn't mean that there wasn't any. I mean, it's possible that, you know, they won't be announced to say tomorrow or maybe Thursday, or they might have been under the 100,000 metric ton reporting level. So we won't know them until another week down the road when we see our weekly export sales and shipments update. So, you know, it certainly had the feel, but you mentioned oversold and everything really was. The last couple of weeks we've seen funds going to record large net short futures position. The week before it was in soybeans, then they extended it through Tuesday. They increased it through Tuesday, February 13th. And then last Friday's report showed that corn went to a new, that the non-commercial traders in corn went to a new net short futures position of almost 246,000 contracts. So you know, while this sounds incredibly bearish, it's actually still the most bullish factor out there for these markets, because we could see what's happened in wheat, similar to what's happened in wheat, where, you know, really the only thing left to do is a round of short covering, particularly if fundamentals aren't that bearish, and they're not. And that certainly seems to be, as you pointed out, some of what we saw coming out of the weekend.
Well, I wonder too, Darren, I believe it's that kind of that time of the month where we could start to see some open basis contracts against March futures, I would believe, start to maybe get priced or rolled over here this week. Is that something that you're going to be keeping an eye on as well here as we move through the week ahead?
Yeah, it certainly could. It would not be surprising because, you know, there's still some of those open basis contracts, you know, versus the March. So they're either going to have to price them, which is going to be painful, or, you know, they're going to have to roll them, which, you know, in some of these markets we have seen, you know, the carry strengthen. But this also tells us as we move into March, we have to be very careful with basis market, with the cash market, because if all of a sudden we start to see before planting season, we start to see some of these leftover bushels from the 2023 harvest starting to make their way to town again, predominantly in corn. This could be the next bearish leg in these markets. So something we certainly have to keep a close eye on.
Well, and looking at these markets as well, you know, trying to get a little bit of a bounce here, and you brought up the funds and, you know, the CFTC reports that we keep getting, just showing those record short positions here. It's something that I've been watching, Darren, is that, you know, with everything that has been so bearish to these markets, what's it going to take to get a sizable rally potentially here in the grains? I mean, and, you know, starting the week off on a good note, but, you know, how much steam could be in a rally like this, I guess, is something that I'm kind of keeping my eye on a little bit.
Well, we know the fundamentals aren't there to really spark a huge rally. I mean, the National Corn Index was calculated at 396, I believe, last Friday, and that correlates to an available stocks to use figure of 13%. Both of those numbers are the most bearish supply and demand situation we've had since the end of October 2020. Soybeans, we also saw, you know, the cash index weaker, you know, over the last number of months. Both remain in long-term downtrends. So we know there's not a great fundamental reason. The bottom line fundamentals remain bearish. So again, if we're going to get this fund rally, this fund-led rally, it's going to come from short covering. It's not going to come from a change in fundamentals. And so while we do have this opportunity to see some short covering, longer term, if the fundamentals don't change, it just means that the door is still open for another round of selling at some point. That is unless we see U.S. stock indexes just take off or other commodity sectors, you know, really turn bullish. Something similar to what we've seen in the softs, where cocoa is just a runaway freight train. So everyone's kind of sitting waiting which market will be the next. It's probably not going to be in the grains, could be in the softs, could possibly be in the livestock sector as well. So, you know, the funds are going to be looking at these sectors and going to be weighing them out. You know, so if they continue to pull money out of the grain sector, they've ridden it down as far as they want to go. They're probably not going to build a large net long position unless we see some sort of fundamental change. And then money's just going to simply roll over into equities or into some other sector that shows bullish fundamentals.
Darren, how about the livestock sector? Cattle, hogs starting off the week fairly quiet on Tuesday. Any other notes in the protein sector for us?
Yeah, the one thing we want to watch, you know, they've had a nice run here recently, particularly the cattle markets. And so what we have to be careful with, maybe they're getting a little top heavy. And again, the seasonality of the U.S. stock indexes is to move lower in February and March. We really haven't seen a lot of it yet. But if it gains momentum this next month, it could put a little bit of pressure on the cattle markets in particular. So there is a tie between those two, so something we can certainly keep an eye on here over the coming weeks.
And two, I'm watching the energy complex, kind of quiet to start the week, but obviously, you know, watching more continued potential volatility there with everything going on in the Middle East, et cetera. So energies, I know, always warrant watching, Darren.
Yeah, they do, particularly this time of year, because this is when they really show a great deal of seasonal strength. And what I find interesting is that we might get a day or two, or maybe we get a week where, you know, that type of buying is seen. The commercial side really starts ramping up, but then it goes away. And then we fall off the next week and maybe the next after that. So it's really struggling. The sector as a whole is really struggling right now to build that type of seasonal rally that we're used to. Some are going to point to natural gas. That's more of a weather play right now, you know, just as it continues to crash. But if we look at the crude oil, distillates, and RBOB, you know, again, that their seasonal tendencies haven't changed. It's just that they can't find the consistent buying that they normally do this time of year.
Darren, always good to have a conversation with you. Thanks for joining us here today on AOA. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Darren Newsom, senior market analyst there at Bar Chart. All right, coming up next, we are going to get an update on what is moving with the weather forecast here in the U.S. and South America. We'll talk with DTN's John Baranek on the way next here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
With thousands of openings and hundreds of agricultural careers, from environmental science and biotechnology to international relations and marketing, today's FFA members are acquiring the tools they'll need to succeed in their chosen field.
Today and every day in 2024, we salute the FFA.
Saluting our local FFA members and chapters during National FFA Week, this FFA salute is brought to you by Bruner Seeds, Highway 10, Durand.
It's as important as a pool of traits and genetics as it is the farmer. The seed supplier is just as important. Bruner Seed Incorporated is proud to return their roots as a family-owned and operated seed business. Bruner Seed is committed to providing a quality seed at a fair price. With a variety of corn and soybean products to choose from, as well as alfalfa and pasture mixes, Bruner Seed has the genetics and traits best suited for your farm. To find the dealer near you, call Bruner Seed at 715-672-5887. Bruner Seed Incorporated, family-owned and operated, Highway 10, Durand.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we take a look at the weather map here early in the week, things look relatively calm for much of the U.S., really east of the Rockies. Do got a system that we're keeping an eye on, though, out west in California, parts of the West Coast, and we maybe have some potential for a little bit of a change as we get into next week as well. We're going to talk about it right now with DTN meteorologist John Baranek joining us here on AOA. John, good to talk with you again. Hope you enjoyed the long holiday weekend.
I did, and at least we saw some temperatures warming up there at the tail end of it. You know, we got where I'm at in Minnesota, we had about 6 inches of snow last week, and a lot of that already started to melt off, so it'll be gone here either today or tomorrow. You know, just winter does not want to stick around very long here this winter.
Well, I know in my neck of the woods in Tennessee, you know, I stepped outside early in the morning and temps were in like the 30s, it felt like. And then by midday, it was up into the 60s. So it's like getting that sense of false spring, I think, for some folks in the Mid-South this time of year, you know, because we have like, what, 12 seasons in the Mid-South instead of four. But anyway, you know, temperatures seem like they're holding fairly above normal here for much of the country, at least to start off this week. And as I've noted, things on the radar outside of the West Coast look pretty quiet here, John.
Yeah, not really a whole lot going on as long as you're east of the Rockies. We got a ridge just popping up. It's going to bring in some more warmth for us. And, you know, with the lack of snow cover just about everywhere, that means that goes right into building temperatures. So, you know, that's kind of what we've seen all winter long is this ridge just popping up and keeping everybody nice and warm. We do have that system out in the west, though, and that will make its way eastward here this week. You know, as we're talking here on Tuesday, that's kind of hitting California pretty decent here, especially later today. But that system will get into kind of the central plains tomorrow night and then through the Midwest and Ohio Valley there on Thursday. But, you know, with how warm it is around it, it looks like it's going to be all rain. And, you know, it's, you know, usually when we're talking, you know, late February, we're talking at least some snow somewhere, but nope, not with this one. This one looks like it's going to be all rain.
Well, I know too, last week we kind of saw, and I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit, we kind of saw the Clipper train start up last week and worked its way through parts of the Northern Plains and the upper Midwest. Are we going to continue to see that Clipper train kind of run maybe later this week? I guess, what are we seeing for some of the northern parts of the country? Will we have any systems moving through as we go through the week?
We do, but it's mostly up in Canada. So it's kind of shifted its way a little bit farther north than what we were looking at last week. So, you know, if you live in Canada, if you're up north of the border there, it looks like we're going to have several systems moving through. They do scrape a couple of cold fronts across the Midwest and Northern Plains here late this week. And it might turn into a few light snow showers or something in the eastern Midwest, you know, late Friday night, Saturday morning. But, you know, we're not looking at anything either too significant on the one hand or a significant drop in temperatures either. Slight drop in temperatures behind some of these fronts up there across the northern states. But, you know, it's, you know, on the course, you know, going from significantly above normal of being, you know, 15 degrees above normal instead of, you know, being 5 degrees above normal. So, you know, it's still warm even behind these fronts. It's kind of remarkable. We just haven't been able to tap into any real cold air outside of that, you know, small period there in mid-January where we got significantly cold and we got a visit from the polar vortex and saw some major snowstorms move across the middle of the country. But outside of that little period there in mid-January, winter has just not really been around. It's been a lot like perpetual spring.
Well, thinking about winter not really being around, you indicated to me during the commercial break that we could see something a little more active as we get into next week, the final week of the month of February. What exactly are you keeping an eye on? What could we see here next week, John?
Yeah, what we've had, you know, typically during this winter is a big trough out either in Canada or over the U.S. But this weekend, we're going to see a big trough drop down into Western Canada. Now, it's not coming with a whole bunch of cold air, but it is coming with a whole bunch of energy, and it's going to suck in another piece of trough that's off the West Coast as well and send a big storm system through the middle of the country next week. Looks, you know, models are actually pretty decent with the timing of it, which is unusual for being, you know, 7, 8, 9 days away. But it looks like a pretty good storm system is going to move through at least in two pieces, one that goes across the north, and that's not going to have too much of an impact. But another piece that comes off that Pacific there, that one should develop into a significant a storm system for early to mid next week. Widespread precipitation looks likely, and it looks like it's going to be just cold enough for some potential for some heavier snow in some spots. Don't know exactly where, and it all depends on the track, of course. You know, the typical
things we talk about as meteorologists, not knowing exactly where it's going to happen, you know, 8 days out. But it does look like a pretty good potential here for somewhere in the Central Plains up into the upper Midwest to get a stripe of significant snow out of it. We'll have to keep our eyes on just how much snow and where exactly that's going to be. And then also some potential for some severe weather. I mean, I know a lot of people might be going down to Commodity Classic down in Houston next week. And we will have a front moving through there. Right now, it looks like a lot of that activity is off to the north. But you know, it's hard to be so close to the Gulf of Mexico down there in Houston and not see anything when a front goes by. So we'll keep our eyes on that as well.
All right. Definitely. Definitely. We're talking with DTN meteorologist John.
A child abduction alert has been issued in Manitowoc County for the following child: Elijah View, age 3, male, white, 3 feet 0 inches, 45 pounds, with sandy hair, brown eyes, and a birthmark on the left knee. Child was last seen near 3900 Mishicot Road, Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and is missing from Two Rivers. He was last seen wearing gray sweatpants, long sleeve, dark colored shirt, and red and green dinosaur slip-on shoes. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Elijah View, please contact the Two Rivers Police Department at 844-267-6648.
Planting some more of their corn, but they're in a pretty good spot right now in terms of pace for that. And I'm sure they'd rather take the rain over not getting anything. They do go isolated next week, so that they'll be able to pick up on some of that field work. But you know, Central Brazil is in a good spot right now. What we're looking at though is kind of Argentina and Southern Brazil. They have been drier last week. We didn't see a whole lot out of Argentina, but we do get this one front coming in here on Thursday into Argentina, and that'll move north into southern Brazil for the weekend. And it does look like it has a good wave of rain, but that does kick off kind of more active period here through this weekend and most of next week as well. We'll see multiple little waves of showers, batches of scattered showers moving through, a couple more fronts, and things kind of pick up for them a bit in terms of rainfall. So, you know, Argentina, I mean, we had talked about it for a while, just being in such good weather for a long period here. You know, they went through a pretty rough, hot and dry stretch for about 2 weeks there at the end of January into early February. And they're hoping for that to kind of just come to an end and start really picking up on the rain to kind of finish out their crop season. Overall, you know, with El Nino in place, it typically works out that way. And so, you know, this kind of stretch of more active weather we're seeing is probably going to be a good thing for them. But Southern Brazil has been kind of odd. They had some, you know, I don't remember if everybody remembers, but we were talking about flooding rains and crazy amounts of rain back in October and November, and they've been kind of drier since, and they haven't been able to see sustained heavy rainfall for a long period of time, which is not like El Nino. So, you know, they're kind of hoping for a little bit more down there. They've seen crop conditions kind of waver good to bad throughout the course of the season so far. And, you know, they're still planting. They plant some safrinha corn down there in southern Brazil, and they really need this rain to start picking up. And it looks like it will, at least for a brief time period here, starting this weekend.
John, before we let you go, any final thoughts, anything you want to mention weather-wise that folks just need to keep an eye on and pay attention to here this week?
Yeah, El Nino's just been so strong, and that baseline feature has just been, you know, the theme of the winter. And even with these storm systems coming up here this week and next week, you know, I talked about that major monster storm, even the temperatures behind it go cold for like a day, and then we're back into the above normal temperatures. So we continue to be in that very warm pattern. We don't see any real semblance of Arctic air coming in anytime soon. And man, if you do get some winter weather, don't worry, it won't last very long.
All righty. Well, we appreciate it, of course, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us here on AOA. Always good to talk with you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me on, Jesse.
All right. Look at the weather there with John Baranek from DTN. All right. Well, we are going to recap last week's USDA Ag Outlook Forum. We're going to talk about some other issues impacting agriculture as well. We're going to have a conversation with Josh Bakey, Farm Policy Editor with Farm Progress. He joins us next on AOA Agriculture of America.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Here's a check of the markets on AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen. Let's take a look at where things stand here as we're working through our Tuesday trade action. Getting a decent bounce across the board with the wheat trade moderately higher. Soybeans and corn also trading their way to the upside as well. Here a little bit of a bounce as we are working through our session so far. That is a good thing to see. These markets very, very oversold, and that is something that is providing us with a little.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. March milk up 13 to 16.97, April up 6 to 17.15, May up 12 to 17.59, June up 3 at 18.06. Live cattle markets moved mostly higher on the day, even though the nearby contracts are worried about processing speeds. Packers have reduced throughput as a way to hopefully keep the cash cattle market from advancing uncontrollably. Feeder cattle moved mostly higher as the market continues to be encouraged by strong fundamentals. Supplies of feeder cattle and calves are incredibly low. The hog market is continuing to move mostly higher as well. As long as midweek pork demand picks up, the market may be able to sustain the higher levels. February live cattle down 37 cents to 184.40. March feeder cattle up 35 cents to 251.37. April hogs up 45 cents to 85.67. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly higher on the day as it looks like E15 year-round will be clear for 2025. And there was 155,000 metric tons of new crop corn sold to Japan. Soybeans up mostly higher. Short-term weather in Argentina is looking dry. And the Daily Wire saw 228,000 metric tons of meal sold to the Philippines. Wheat markets mostly higher as well. The plains will see warmer than normal temperatures persist into March. The dollar also was off of its highs of the day. New crop corn up 4.25 to 463. New crop beans up 9.25.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Washington, D.C., the 100th Ag Outlook Forum. I know a lot of various headlines came from that Outlook Forum, including talk about a farm bill or lack of a farm bill. We got the new USDA baseline projections, things like that. Share some thoughts from your experience last week at the Ag Outlook Forum just to start.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's an annual event. A lot of, you know, pretty much everybody from USDA is there. Lots of different people in the agriculture industry. So lots of good information. Lots of wonky talk there. But you know, I had a chance to speak with Secretary Vilsack a little bit about the farm bill, and you know, I think it really showed. He's normally a pretty mild mannered guy, and he showed a little bit of frustration with the state of the farm bill negotiations. I think the day before the forum started, he testified before the House Agriculture Committee for almost 5 hours. And, you know, I asked him a little bit about the progress he thought that came from those meetings. And honestly, he categorized it as a wasted opportunity. You know, said he'd hope to have, you know, more constructive conversations, exploring some possible solutions. And instead, he felt, you know, it's just a lot of people kind of, you know, preaching to the choir, talking back and forth. And you know, he was just kind of really disappointed, it seemed, in the lack of progress towards getting a new farm bill.
Well, and that's a big talking point, is just this lack of progress to get a new farm bill. We know that House Democrats and House Republicans especially continue to quarrel over certain aspects of a farm bill. We have some of that same thing going on the Senate side as well. I mean, it just feels like the environment on Capitol Hill right now, Josh, feels like we're running out of time ahead of a presidential election to try and get a farm bill done. Did you get some of that sense while you were in D.C. last week?
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus all around. I mean, nobody's, you know, at least no public officials are willing to say that openly at this point. But that's the general consensus. You know, if nothing happens here, probably, you know, by the end of the spring, maybe early summer, we're probably looking at another farm bill extension, because once, you know, it gets to the summer election season, it's going to be next impossible to get everybody together to get something done. And, you know, as always, I think the main sticking point is funding. You know, there is a, you know, mutual desire between Democrats and Republicans to, you know, make some changes to, you know, crop insurance, farm support programs. You know, there's a general, you know, consensus to do that, but how to pay for it is, you know, the constant sticking point. And then the two issues in particular go back to, you know, nutrition funding and climate conservation programs. You know, Democrats have consistently said they're not going to accept any cuts to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. They're not going to accept cuts to climate programs. They are instead looking for other ways. You know, the word I kept hearing at the forum was creative ways to find the funding to get these, you know, more money into these other farm programs. Republicans would like to take repurposed money from the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It's called the Inflation Reduction Act, but in essence, it's a lot of climate programs, many of them, you know, affecting agriculture. You know, Chairman Thompson has said repeatedly that it would be better to have those funds, you know, within the farm bill and have programs that he says are, you know, better tailored to farmers. But Democrats see that as more of just a way to a trick, basically, to take away climate funding to put it to other priorities. And, you know, you have a similar argument with nutrition. During the pandemic, the president authorized additional funds to the Thrifty Food Plan. You know, it added more money to the nutrition budget. Republicans see that as not necessary now. Democrats see that as a cut to programs to assist the poor. And so far, there's just been no compromise between those two points of view.
Josh, I know last week as well, we got the new 2022 Census of Agriculture. Some of the headline notes from that, including the U.S. lost a little over 140,000 farms, according to the Ag Census. Was the Ag Census data and something that was also a talking point last week while you were at the Ag Outlook Forum by chance?
Yeah, it was. And I don't necessarily think that those, you know, reports of the number of farms declining was a surprise, but, you know, definitely highlighted the issue. And it highlights one of the things the Biden administration has really been pushing over the last couple of years, is finding ways to keep small and mid-sized farms in operation. You know, from their viewpoint, there can be other programs, you know, climate smart agriculture is a way to, you know, create, you know, additional, you know, revenue streams, you know, other as well as, you know, initiatives to improve biofuel production, potentially sustainable aviation fuel. So, you know, they have been, you know, Secretary Vilsack has been using that as a talking point, you know, to try to save smaller operations and mm-hmm. he's put to, you know, save rural towns. But again, I think it's something that everybody's concerned of, you know, how to address it. That's the bigger issue, I guess.
We're talking with Farm Progress Policy Editor Josh Baeke here on AOA. Josh, some of the other stories you've been covering lately, you had one up about the U.S.-Mexico corn dispute. And this is a story that I got to admit, I've kind of lost track of this story and where it stands. Things have gone pretty quiet on this issue over genetically modifying corn exports to Mexico from the U.S. But you talked about on farmprogress.com how this dispute will likely be resolved this year. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, this one has been dragging on for a while. But in essence, over the past, you know, at least 3 to 4 years, started off with Mexican President López Obrador issuing a decree that was going to ban, you know, imported corn, genetically modified corn for human consumption. United States and Mexico for a while went back and forth negotiations. They were never able to come to agreement. So this past around early fall, if I remember, finally, under the terms of the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, the U.S. called for a dispute resolution panel, which basically, you know, is kind of like an arbitrator that will hear both sides, we'll hear the United States side, hear the Mexican side, and then come up with a ruling over who's right and how to move forward within the terms of that trade agreement. Last week, the news came out that panel has now been picked. A date for the hearing has been set, although that hasn't been released publicly yet, last time I checked. But, you know, based on that timeline, the expectation is that the issue will be resolved one way or the other this year. And that also comes in the shadow of there's going to be Mexico's going to have a presidential election in June, and they will be getting a new president. And there's also hope on the United States side that, you know, along with a dispute resolution panel may ultimately resolve this issue. But, you know, again, that remains to be seen.
Well, thinking about trade disputes, of course, it wasn't too long ago where we had a trade war with China. And I know, too, you covered this, and this is something we haven't really touched on here on the show, but former President Donald Trump has suggested that if he were to be reelected, he suggested a 60% import tariff on China. That's a very interesting little nugget there that could have a very direct impact on agriculture, wouldn't it, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely, it would. You know, if you recall back in 2018, President Trump imposed some tariffs on Chinese goods, and that kind of led to basically a trade war for about 2 years after that. USDA, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they, you know, according to them, that was a significant hit to, you know, American farmers in terms of the exports they were able to do. And so it was kind of a one-off comment, you know, which as we all know, you know, former President Trump is prone to do. But, you know, we do know he has a history of imposing tariffs on China. So that, you know, should be taken seriously, whether 60% is actually a formal policy or just, you know, something throughout there on TV remains to be seen, but it is of concern. And, you know, obviously this election year continues.
Josh, another story I saw as well in your recent articles, the Chicken Council is looking at EPA proposals that they say are not helpful. They're arguing a food waste reduction plan should be reevaluated. Can you give us some details on that real quick?
Yeah. Basically, there's some proposed rules, governing that issue that there's part of a larger effort to reduce food waste and from their standpoint, the chicken producers say that is, in many cases, it's an issue better left to them, that it's more efficient and ultimately will better meet the goal by having voluntary standards within the industry reduce waste versus rules down that they say may actually, you know, run counter to the effort that they're trying to do.
Well, Josh, good thoughts as always. And I know, of course, you stay up to date with a lot of the policy issues online at farmprogress.com. Any stories coming up here this week or in the next couple of weeks here before the end of the month that you are working on and covering that we should be paying attention for?
You know, I think the big one that's going to be coming up here again really quick is we're having yet another budget battle. You recall we, you know, the appropriations package was needed to be passed in September. That was extended to November and then to February. Now we're facing two deadlines, the beginning of March to fund 12 different government agencies. And really, it's kind of surprising how little has come out in terms of progress on that. But, you know, as we get to those deadlines, you're going to be looking at, again, potential government shutdown. And I think the general consensus is nothing will happen on the farm bill until that issue is resolved. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, basically the first, it's not just the farm bill, but basically anything else, you know, in Congress is kind of going to be held up by that. And then you throw in, you know, some of these other contentious issues like border security, aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel. And, you know, it's going to be really telling in the next few weeks. What happens here, I think, is going to be kind of a harbinger for what we can expect for the rest of the year.
Well, a lot of things that are in front of us, as you mentioned, and we'll have to get you back on the program again in a couple of weeks once we maybe have some more news or some more answers to some of those issues. With that, Josh Bakey, farm policy editor with Farm Progress. Josh, thanks so much for joining us on AOA. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jesse. I really appreciate it.
All right, Josh Bakey there with Farm Progress. Coming up next, we're going to get an update on the February board meeting for the United Soybean Board with Steve Reinhardt, the chair of the USB. He joins us next on AOA.
Folding a fitted sheet, programming the thermostat, matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like finding that missing sock. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you. The Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
Modern technology has had an impact on every aspect of life, and the business of farming is no exception. Today's FFA members are learning agri-science technologies that provide new and better ways to manage our vital natural resources.
Today and every day in 2024, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members and volunteers.
Saluting the area FFA members and local chapters during this National FFA Week, this FFA salute is brought to you by Martin Transport of Mondovi. Visit them online at martin.com.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
For the benefits of cooperative ownership, it's National Grain Bin Safety Week. Today we're talking with Laramie Sandquist, a risk management expert with Nationwide, about ways to stay safe around stored grain. Laramie, what are the primary risks working with stored grain?
The primary risks are obviously the oxygen deficient environment, the power equipment that you want to make sure is locked out and tagged out, and then getting to the root cause of why is this stuff not moving in the first place.
Well, what safety precautions should everyone take around grain storage facilities?
First and foremost, you know, we always say a zero entry mentality. If you don't have to go in, you shouldn't go in, don't go in. Right. There are experts that are trained in how to do this. And if you do have an issue with the condition of the grain and the bin itself, it shouldn't go in those things in the first place. If for the reason you want to go in, obviously some of the steps we've already taken. Let's check the oxygen deficiency of that environment, make sure that there's no hazardous oxygen in there. Make sure that you're locking and tagging out all of the powered equipment that are going on, making sure that you're not going in alone. Make sure you have a spotter there, someone that you're in communication with at all times. And then obviously making sure that you have the right equipment to properly go into a bin itself. So anytime you're going into a hazardous confined space, you definitely need to have a plan in place, which includes having a spotter, which includes talking with the authorities, meaning your local fire department.
Well, what resources are available to help improve grain bin safety?
You got grainbinsafetyweek.com. I'll say that again, grainbinsafetyweek.com has a lot of different resources, from white papers that are out there, from testimonials from people, from videos, ways to work with grain safely. All of that stuff is out there.
Thank you for joining us during National Grain Bin Safety Week at Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted car.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's get an update on the February board meeting of the United Soybean Board happening this week in Louisville, Kentucky. Joining us now, he is the chair of the United Soybean Board. Steve Reinhardt is with us. Steve, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good to be on with you, Jesse, and talk a little bit about what we're doing here at the United Soybean Board.
Well, I know last year I was at the February board meeting, this exact meeting when it was in Nashville. This year you guys have the February meeting in Louisville, as I mentioned. And I know that during these meetings, you guys get a lot of work done. A lot of things are talked about very in-depth with the United Soybean Board. So let's just start. What are some of the things that are going to be big topics here this week for the board meeting?
Well, I think that one of the biggest thing we do here at the February board meeting is we're kind of looking at our investment list. So what are some of the things that we want to invest soybean checkoff dollars into to help further the return back to the United, the soybean farmers in the United States? And so we have three really big areas within supply and demand that we look at. Infrastructure and connectivity is one of those areas. Health and nutrition, and then we also look at innovation and technology. And right now, probably innovation technology is one of the easier, more projects we're looking at. How do we use soybean oil more? With sustainability has become a bigger and bigger issue. So any place that we have things that are made with petroleum products, we're not necessarily trying to replace petroleum, but we're looking at how we can extend that life and use soybean oil in that process. So I think that's a really positive thing we're doing there to help environmental impacts. But then we go back to infrastructure and connectivity. And, up where you are in the Dakotas, we could be just talking about rural broadband and how we can maybe help to extend that. And then how we can continue to keep our roads in good shape and improve our rail transportation and be able to move that soybean meal out of the Dakotas to the West Coast so we can take that to Asia.
Well, I think, Steve, overall, the economic sustainability of soybeans is a big topic, right? I mean, you know, some of those uses that you mentioned and finding new uses for soybeans here in the U.S. and for the U.S. farmer, that's a big thing that you guys do at the United Soybean Board to kind of continue the, like I said, the economic sustainability of soybeans, right?
Yep, and that's one of the things we actually talked about this morning was we met at 7 o'clock this morning. We had a roundtable discussion on, you know, what are we doing in the United States to create a sustainable product? You know, how are soybeans raised and how do that how does that relate to how people want to, you know, purchase their exports in the future? So we think we still have a great story to tell there on how we can sustainably produce our soy here in the United States and use that as another marketing tool as we go around the world and look at feeding that supply or that demand for that product.
Steve, I know that things like sustainable aviation fuel have been a very hot topic in agriculture, and I know soy can have a role in SAF with biodiesel and things like that, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, things like SAF, is that going to be something that's going to be talked about amongst the board here this week, and potential investments and growth on things like SAF and other clean fuels potentially?
Yeah, so we're a big supporter of clean fuels, and Clean Fuels America just had their board meeting a couple weeks ago, and that's one of the areas that we have them kind of focusing on, is how we can continue to build out not only biodiesel, but also build out renewable diesel and that sustainable aviation fuel, make sure that...
Child abduction alert has been issued in Manitowoc County for the following child: Elijah View, age 3, male, white, 3 feet 0 inches, 45 pounds, with sandy hair, brown eyes, and a birthmark on the left knee. Child was last seen near 3900 Mishicot Road, Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and is missing from Two Rivers. He was last seen wearing gray sweatpants, long sleeve, dark colored shirt, and red and green dinosaur slip-on shoes. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Elijah View, please contact the Two Rivers Police Department at 844-267-6648.
Keep people more informed and you know, make sure that we have... a real clear vision, and we want to make sure that we keep the soybean farmer in mind and make sure that we're returning that investment back to them through the checkoff program. And we're going to have a new ROI study this year, and it's going to be an interesting study as we look back at the last 5 years. And we know we've had some trade issues. We know we've had COVID. There's been those market disruptors in there to kind of affect that. And that's going to be interesting to see how that takes place. But I think just making sure that we look at the big picture products out there, the biofuels, renewable diesel, new uses, making sure our infrastructure is strong, and that's still a great competitive advantage that we have. So I think those are all, you know, things we continue to look at, a life cycle analysis of, you know, how does U.S. soybean compare to soybeans produced around the world as far as, you know, their carbon intensity score? That's still a big thing that we hear about. And how do we continue to make sure that we can prove that we're, you know, the most sustainable soybean option out there?
Well, Steve, great stuff. I know folks can learn more at unitedsoybean.org. Appreciate you joining us, and we'll be watching for updates from the board meeting this week. Thanks for being with us on AOA. All right, Steve Reinhardt there, the chair of the United Soybean Board. We're out of time on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Times of transition, whether from a sad event or a joyful one, can leave us feeling adrift. Social connections are an important part of a healthy life. Being isolated and lonely can be harmful to your health. It can lead to high blood pressure, a greater risk of heart disease, and early onset dementia. So it's important to build and maintain connections to people, not just in your family, but others.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders with Navage Nasal Care. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Even better, Navage is HSA, FSA eligible.